from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Baalot Ha, examining the sources of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara can be translated as bad speech, where we speak negatively about another individual. Sometimes it borders on slander, but very often it's not necessarily slander, it's just saying something negative about someone else. There are many verses in the Torah that can be associated with the notion of not speaking Lashon Hara, of not speaking bad speech or slanderous speech to others. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, who was most famous in the early 20th century for putting together a whole book about Lashon Hara, about slanderous speech, he asserts that there are actually 17 violations of the Torah when you speak badly against others, and 14 positive commandments that you fail to fulfill when you speak against others. I want to look not at all of them, but just at a few of them, and I'd like to analyze whether indeed those verses are actually good sources, clear sources for this mitzvah, whether perhaps Chafetz Chaim was stretching it a bit, or perhaps there are other ways of looking at the verse, and let's see what the Rambam's position as well. So let's get started. We have Leviticus 19:16, and there it says, "Lo telech rachil b'amecha, lo tamed l'amecha ani Hashem." It says a tattle bearer should not go among your people. And Rashi says, people who speak Lashon Hara and they go around everywhere. So here it's a very specific type of gossip where you spread the gossip, where you say, I heard this at the beauty parlor, and now I'm taking it to my house, and then the people in the house take it to their relatives who live somewhere else, and then they take it, etc. So it's the holech rachil, going, it's the going in the process. Ibn Ezra says, the rachil, the person who goes by his feet and tattle bearer, he goes from one person and tells them, the other person, what he heard. So, it's a very specific type of tattle bearing. It's more like gossip. It's not necessarily just one person talking to another. It depends if you're carrying the news from one place to the other. But it's definitely talking about slander and bad speech and tattlebearing. Then we turn to another verse, which, frankly, for years I had overlooked. I didn't even know what it meant. It said, "Lo tisa shem hashav." What does that mean? You shouldn't take what you hear in vain. You shouldn't take what you lift up, what you hear in vain. What does that mean? Here is a translation. You must not carry false rumors. Shema. False, it doesn't exactly mean false. It means something that's frivolous. In any event, it's hard to translate. Rashi says that we should look at the Unkelus, the Aramaic translation, Lo tekabel shma d'shkar. Don't receive false rumors, false information about others. So Rashi says this refers to two things. Not one, but two. Number one, you don't receive the Lashon Hara. Not only should you not bear tattletaling, but you should also not be the receiver of tattletaling. And also, if you're a judge, don't listen to one litigant when the other party's not there to defend himself. You have to wait for the other one to appear in court as well. What is Ibn Ezra, who tries to look at the simple meaning? He says, well, don't take something out of your heart. Don't lift something out of your heart to express it, which is a tattletale. So also, even Ibn Ezra agrees that this verse does apply to tattletelling. However, the Sforno quotes a rabbinic interpretation that, as the Gemara says in Zeboer and Sanhedrin, that you shouldn't be lachtom al ashtar. You shouldn't sign. Second half of the verse says you shouldn't join up with others to sign things where you don't belong. It's a little bit different. Let's continue. The Yosef B'chor Shor says, don't take something out of your mouth, even if it's not in public, if it's not in court, even if it's just privately. If it's a false matter, don't say it. Now, Lashon Hara is not always false. Lashon Hara can be very true. This person, he picks his nose in public. So you say, that's what he does. And it's not false, it's true. So here, the Yosef B'choshor is saying that it's a matter of falsehood. And Rashi is calling it Lashon Hara, but here we're speaking specifically about false matters. That's in some ways the category of Motzi Shemra, giving someone a bad reputation, or just saying something negative and false about someone. So this would only apply to certain types of Lashon Hara where there's a falsehood involved, according to Yosef B'choshor. Now, the Rashbam says that it actually applies to something else. It's not talking about Lashon Hara. It's saying that when you're testifying, or whether you're a judge, or whether you are a witness, you shouldn't testify something falsely. That's what I thought it meant for many years. And that's the Rashbam. So some say this verse does not apply to the tattle bearing. In this week's parsha, we should mention also that the Rambam does mention this verse of Lo Tisa Hashem Hashav in the laws of Sanhedrin. He does in chapter 21, law 7. He does say that it applies to both. It applies both to tattle bearing and to a testifying falsely. Moving along to this week's parsha, Baalotcha. In Baalotcha, we have the story of Miriam. Miriam ostensibly is tattletaling. She's saying something about Moshe and his wife. We don't know what she's saying, that he just got married, that he married his second wife, that he neglects his first wife, that he remarried his first wife. It's not clear what he's saying, but it seems to be tattlebearing. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 24:8, there's a pasuk in Parshas Kitetze, where it says, Yishomer v'negat tzara, watch out for leprosy. Because you remember what happened to Miriam when she came out of Egypt. What did Miriam do? Did she tattle bear? In which case, you have to guard yourself against leprosy. That's sort of a negative command, to guard yourself against leprosy. Or positive command, to remember what happened to Miriam regarding the tattle bearing. But let's see what the commentaries have to say. Do they interpret it this way? The guarding yourself from the leprosy, Rashi says, no, quotes the Gemara Makos, it means if you get leprosy, don't cut it off. You have to leave it and let the Kohen pronounce whether you are a leper or not. And then, however, when it says that you should remember what God did to Miriam, he says, don't speak Lashon Hara. If you remember what happened to Miriam, you won't speak Lashon Hara. And after all, Miriam spoke against her brother. So Rashi interprets that Miriam spoke against her brother, and that's why there's a mitzvah to remember what Miriam did and not to do what Miriam did. However, one of the verses does not apply to this. In the Ramban, he says, remember what God did to Miriam. So he says, Lafidati, I believe it's a mitzvah. I say, Mamish, this is a regular mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah in the Torah to wear tzitzis, the mitzvah to keep Shabbos is a mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam. In other words, what does it mean? He says, Yazhar mila b'lashon hara. It's a warning not to speak Lashon Hara. It's a positive mitzvah to remember the great punishment that happened to the great righteous woman. And here he points out something that the Gemara, the Medrash points out, that she was only trying to help him. She loved her brother. She didn't speak foolishness. It was something true. It wasn't in public. It was private. She only said it to her holy brother. What do you think her brother's going to do with it? He's going to spread the word to other people. He's not going to tell anybody. And yet all the good deeds she did didn't protect her from the punishment of leprosy. So how much more so should we be very careful? And it's very interesting to note, we once had a webcast, and you can look it up, about the notion of Miriam the prophetess. We try to give her benefit of the doubt. She wasn't just tattletelling. She was trying to help him. The Sifrei says she spoke lahanayato l'shavcho. She was speaking in his praise. After he's such a great prophet, he should treat his wife nicer, and also it was for his benefit. She was trying to help him have a better family life. And yet, the way she did it, it was tattlebearing. The Rambam, we should mention, mentions this mitzvah in the end of the laws of tzaraas of leprosy. However, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that this week's parsha is not speaking about Miriam tattletelling. That's not the story. And therefore, this mitzvah to remember what Miriam did is not about tattletaring. What is it? The Rambam mentions the laws of tshuva that one of the things that makes you an apikoros, a heretic, is to deny the prophecy of Moses. If you say something against the Chumash, or against the Pentateuch, or it wasn't from God, or that is a denial of something very, very significant. And that's what Miriam did. She said, Moses, look, I believe in prophecy. In fact, the Rambam says there are two of the 13 principles. One is to believe in prophecy. And she believes in prophecy. She is a prophet. But she, there's a second mitzvah, that all the prophecies of Moses are true. And she didn't believe that Moses was the Adon L'chol Avim, that he was the king of all prophets, that there's something different about the Chumash than the Navi. There's something different about the Pentateuch than the books of the prophets and the scriptures. That's why in the Holy Ark we have one book, the Torah, because that's the book that's from God. Why? Because there's something different about Moses' prophecy. It's true. Moses was a prophet, so Joshua was a prophet, and Samuel was a prophet, so Isaiah was a prophet. So they're all prophets. No. There's a difference. There's a difference between Moses and the other prophets. That's something other religions don't appreciate. They have the Hebrew Bible. No, it's not a Hebrew Bible. They say, oh, we're going to prove our religion is true because it's a verse in Isaiah. We can't prove something from Isaiah. The Pentateuch is supreme. Whatever the Pentateuch says, that is the guiding principle. And she denied the significance, the uniqueness of the Pentateuch. That's what Miriam did. And Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, pointed this out. That's what she did. She was machish nevuaso shel Moshe. And therefore, the mitzvah to remember what she did is a mitzvah simply to remember that she denied Moses' prophecy. And that is not Lashon Hara. It's nothing to do with Lashon Hara. This is not a story of Miriam the gossiper. It's a story of Miriam who didn't appreciate the difference between her prophecy and Moses' prophecy. And then she understood after that. But has nothing to do with Lashon Hara according to this interpretation. Fourth verse we should mention, that sometimes when you speak Lashon Hara, you instead of building bridges between people, you collapse the bridges between people, you disconnect people, you bring about machlokas, hatred among people, and there's a mitzvah to not create machlokas. Torah says that lo yek korach, no one should be like Korach. And the Gemara says that anybody who creates machlokas, who creates strife in the community, who creates hatred and animosity between people, they're violating the Torah, because it says in Bamidbar 17:5, don't be like Korach. So now, this mitzvah only applies to Lashon Hara if you're creating machlokas. If you're talking to Aaron, you're saying, hey Aaron, our brother really shouldn't have married this woman, or whatever you said, Miriam said. That's not creating machlokas, because Aaron is not going to hate Moses. But if what you said creates hatred, creates division and fight and strife and divisiveness, that is a violation of don't be like Korach. However, the Ramban doesn't interpret that way. Just like we said that the Rabbi Soloveitchik interprets that the verse about remembering Miriam is not about gossip, but rather it's about someone questioning Moses. So too, the Ramban says that this verse is not a verse about how you shouldn't create problems. No, it's about you shouldn't question the kahuna. What Korach did wrong was he questioned the status of Aaron. Aaron was chosen. We need to recognize the status of Aaron as a special chosen person. It's related to the veracity of the Torah, but it's a separate mitzvah. This idea that the Lashon Hara has many different applications, no one is more beautiful than the notion that it violates loving your neighbor as yourself, especially according to Rambam. So I want to point out that, yes, Chafetz Chaim said that it violates loving your neighbor as yourself, especially according to Rambam, because the Rambam writes that part of loving your neighbor, really, the expression of loving your neighbor, is that you say, you know, that guy, Jeff, he's a terrific guy. I really love that guy. He's a great guy. This gal, she's terrific. Saying how wonderful people are, that's part of the mitzvah. So if we speak badly, if we speak ill of others, that is the opposite of loving your neighbor as yourself. There's no mitzvah to be all lovey-dovey about others, but there's a mitzvah to speak highly of other fellow Jews, good people. And when you speak ill of others, it's the opposite of this mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, the Chafetz Chaim, as we said, the Chafetz Nishtabur, the Chafetz Chaim, said that there were so many violations, and surely, depending on the type of interpretation you make and the type of gossip you do, it could be in violation of 17 plus 14. That's 31 different violations. But I want to point out that the Rambam himself, I could be, I haven't fully researched it, but the Rambam himself lists three violations. In the Laws of Deos, when he talks about Lashon Hara as a separate topic, a separate chapter, he says, he quotes the verse from Leviticus 19, from Parshat Kedoshim, don't go tattlebearing. In the Laws of Sanhedrin, as we said, he quotes the law, don't lift up false tattling, false tailbearing. Lotis Hashem Hashav. Don't listen to Lashon Hara. And finally, in the Laws of Tzaraas, in the Laws of Leprosy, at the end, he says, don't forget what happened to Miriam. So the Rambam actually codifies three of these laws. The Rambam agrees that three of these things definitely apply to Lashon Hara, and the Rambam already codified. In other words, there's no question that Lashon Hara is so bad that it violates the spirit, if not the letter, of so many different verses. It's very, very hard. I'm not going to pretend that I'm preaching about it. It's rough. It's a hard thing to do. But we need to remember what an important battle it is to speak positively about others, not negatively. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beit HaLemeth congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee, to discuss Parsha. Join us for other discussions. We have discussions about holidays, how-to videos, and more. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.